Welcome to Last Week on Keith and the Girl.
Bianca!
It's me.
Whee! Hey.
I'm back.
Welcome back.
Thanks for waiting for me.
Sure, sure. the machine came to a halt, but you're here.
I'm here.
And that's what matters. Now, I don't know the story about the fire you started.
It wasn't me.
There's a fire in your building.
There was a fire in my building. Today is March 26th. Right?
Yes.
So it was on February 26th.
Congrats.
It was the last time you all heard me that day. I got home around 11:30 at night. There was a smell, and I was like, what is... Right. You know, and then I thought it was my fault, of course, and I was embarrassed. And then...
But let's just... To be clear, you thought it was your fault. Were you doing anything that it could have been your fault?
No, I
was thinking negative thoughts earlier that day.
For some reason.
And now I can smell them.
Right.
I thought it was coming from the outlet in my kitchen where I have plugged in my electric toothbrush. And I thought, this is because you plugged your toothbrush in the wrong room. It belongs in the bathroom, and you put it in the kitchen, and now you've started a fire.
This is how your negative thoughts can literally kill you.
And then I said that to the fire marshal later, and he was cracking up. He was like, I've seen a lot of fires.
Usually everybody lies about it in the other way.
Right, right. She's like, could it ever be my fault in the future? You should look out for me.
Ma'am, we can't arrest you and put you in the fire station. I don't even know what you're trying to do.
It's like, I confess. I keep my toothbrush plugged in the kitchen. I'm so sorry. But it wasn't that. It was actually my downstairs neighbor. I think he fell asleep with a cigarette. And... Mm. Turns out he was...
Why do you say I think?
Because I don't know. And I haven't gotten the official report.
You just know he smokes.
I know he smokes.
And sleeps. Okay.
But he had issues with hoarding, turns out. Mm. I didn't know that. And his whole place just kind of lit up. And he ended up passing away. And the building is all fucked. And
did you know him?
Yeah, I mean, I've lived there for 7 years, and I talk to him whenever I see him. He's got a lot of conspiracy theories. He's kind of a wacky old guy.
Did you ever have a meal together?
No.
Oh, you're fine.
Yeah,
he'll let you know where you're grieving.
Yeah,
you're medium grief.
Will you be at the funeral?
He doesn't have any family. He's alone, and it's really sad.
She was at the cremation.
Well... I saw them take him out of the building. It was horrific.
Isn't that something? So they take him out of the building, only to put him back in fire.
I don't know what. I don't know where he ended up.
No, I was joking.
Oh. He was a Vietnam vet. I don't know if the military does something. I don't know.
Mm.
It was like so wild.
Well, one of the interesting things she was telling me before is to turn off my phone, and I wasn't listening to her, so that's on me. One of the things she was saying before is she smelled something. I'm like, how often do we smell something? She thinks it's her fault, but she's the one who called 911.
Okay.
So, but would you, you know, and...
There's a hero.
How long between the smell and the 911 call?
You look inside your heart.
As long as it takes her to sing.
Probably like 1 minute. Maybe less.
Every second counts. One left for next time.
Yeah. And then I was just kind of like bumbling like, well, I'm sure it's nothing. You know, like you don't think in the moment that anything is really happening.
I picture this call. Hi, sorry to bother you. Not a big deal.
I have my toothbrush plugged in the wrong place. Yeah.
They say it's an emergency, but you have to say that to get through.
What made you call? Because we do smell things.
The smell started, and then like a minute later, my whole apartment was filled with smoke. Not even a minute, less than a minute.
And then while you're on the phone, are you leaving?
I like comb my hair. I put some shoes on. I still wasn't really getting that this was a big deal. And then finally, the firefighter showed up. It was like 2 minutes later. It was very fast. And they busted in and like... just didn't ask me any questions. They just did what they were going to do. I thought they were going to come in and be like, so what seems to be the trouble? But they just started right away doing what they had to do.
Wait, so you were outside of the building looking in? Could you tell there was a fire?
No, I was in. And then I, as soon as they arrived, I just made my way outside.
Oh, I see.
And then, no, you could tell there was smoke coming, but I couldn't see any flames or anything.
Wow, so you can call 911, the front of your door is gone. Like, if you even think there's a fire, the firemen are just going to...
Yeah.
I mean, I get it, but I didn't even know that. There's so much not to know.
But like, Kend is right. Good revenge calls you can make, right?
I bust down this door. Oh, yeah, that's how you bust down every door.
Do me a favor and bust down my door. Thank you, Click.
Yeah.
But there's also, Andrea, of course, asked about the animals. All the animals made it safe.
Yes.
And then I wonder why you don't hear any of the animals, you know, barking or meowing or anything.
Yeah, they see ghosts and everything. How many animals are there?
I think two cats and cats one dog.
Cats don't care. The dogs care.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it all happens so quickly. Right. And it just like becomes exponentially more serious as, you know, each second like doubles the seriousness. Mm-hmm. So I think if it had taken longer for the firefighters to get there, there might have been more hubbub.
Yeah, I think we're forgetting that within 5 minutes, the hose was already on from the firefighters.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. Did they use the fire hydrant in front?
Mm-hmm.
Was it interesting to watch firemen do all this stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah?
It was a real treat, actually.
Oh, wait, you're into that stuff. It was
Who's not into that? I'm into that. Yeah, oh, it's interesting, all right.
It's like, thank you. And also, like, we know
she's into uniforms,
we
right?
know you're, like, heroic and there's calendars about you or whatever. But, like, when you see it...
Right.
Happening on
IRL. You understand why there's calendars.
Yeah. And actually, the funniest part was that, like, 2 days before, I was chatting with somebody on Bumble who was a firefighter. And then the fire happened. And then he, like, responded to some dumb shit I said. And I wrote back, I was like, so there was a fire in my building, actually. And it was really scary. And I'm okay. But I don't know why I'm telling you this.
He thinks she's talking dirty to him.
Like,
right. Where's the fire?
It was just scary. Right. And wow. And he's like.
It's like we're here 1 second and we're not the next.
You know.
Anyway, no, I'm busy Friday. But I am interested in you.
He was like, yeah, it's crazy, right? You're okay, though. And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. And end of conversation.
And the K, though, was like K-T-H-O, question mark.
I just needed to like vent to him. About what I saw.
Oh, I would take such advantage, right? As a superhero. Well, I mean, you're a superhero.
Well, you guys are already talking. I
So was, you're good. No, right. It's what I do.
Yeah.
And it's what they do. And I'm too buff. And I'm glad you're well.
Yeah.
Send nudes.
Yeah, he didn't say any of that. I think he was like, listen, I leave work at work.
Right. Okay? Right. If there's a fire in our own home, know now that I call the fire department.
Exactly.
I won't even blow out a candle.
Don't take work home with me. Right. You know, this isn't going to work.
I don't either. Hubby Face and I, we don't talk when I get home. Like, that's what I do at work.
Right.
Yeah. Seriously.
Wow. So last month with Bianca, thanks mm-hmm. for filling us in.
Where have you been staying? It's uninhabitable?
Well, there's no power. There's no running water still. And there's no heat. So, they got to get that going.
Yeah, you're a princess.
I know. Well, I did stay there the night that it happened. They let us
fun.
Back in.
It's like camping.
And it was. And then I woke
with
up.
With the smoke from the fire.
Oh, yeah. Always.
I woke up and I went to work. And I was like, so, yeah. And then like 3 days later, I was like, I don't know what's going on. Took a while for it to sink in.
You know what? I think I respond that quickly also. I'm just like, well, clearly the next thing has to happen.
Right, exactly.
All of a sudden I'm in the shower like, wait a minute, there's no shower.
What put me over the edge is at one of my restaurant jobs, a manager, I had to leave early to like deal with something. I was leaving like an hour early.
Right.
And she was like, well, before you go, can you refill the ketchups and mustards? And I was like, no, I can't refill the ketchups and mustards. It was the first time I cried. I felt so bad for her. I was like, I'm really sorry. It wasn't about the ketchups and mustards. It's just that I'm displaced and I feel like you should maybe be a little bit more sensitive about that and like not ask me to do dumb shit before I leaving early.
How much of that did you say?
I did. I said most of that the next day. I was like.
And then the manager said, I knew you were homeless. I was finding a way for you to stay somewhere longer. I was going to let you sweep up the outside parking lot.
I'm I was so like, nice. Can you just take a step back and look at the bigger picture here? Can you refill the ketchups and mustards? Okay. There's three of us standing around. I have to go. I'm literally homeless.
Right.
You do it. But
so where do you stay?
Well, I've been staying with friends. And then right now, a woman I work with has a free room for a little while. And it's been okay. I mean, it's been a real lesson in becoming more flexible and like, you know, adaptable.
Did you lose any of your stuff?
No. No, my apartment is exactly how I left it. It's just like a weird locker where all my stuff is, where I used to live.
I feel weird right now, though. Did you unplug your toothbrush?
I did.
Okay, good.
That was the first thing I did.
All right, because that'd be a kicker.
That was literally the first thing I did. And
it's overheating all month.
I mean, here's the thing. I have a really small bathroom, and if I plug the toothbrush in the bathroom, I feel like right. when I flush the toilet, germs are going to splash up and hit it.
Right.
Which is you're not wrong.
Yeah, so I put it in the kitchen. And right.
I mean, there are covers, but
I put my shower curtain in the kitchen when I'm not using it. I put my sink in the kitchen. Don't ask what I do to the walls.
Well, that's the thing. I was like,
soap.
I was like, this is a dumb place for it, but whatever. I live alone. Right. It's in the kitchen. Nobody's going to know. And then all of a sudden, it's my fault. Doesn't go in that room.
Do you still wonder part of it is your fault?
No. Okay, I know it's not.
All right.
Not this time.
Well, you made a quick one. Didn't you?
Not this time.
It's funny to me.
Keith, was that your crazy test?
Yeah. It is funny to me that you were so sure that cigarette in bed. Did anybody tell you that? No. Okay.
I thought the same thing.
Right. It could be anything.
No, it was. It wasn't anything.
Okay.
It can't.
I mean, that's what.
Because he would yell up and be like, good night. I'm just going to finish this cigarette in bed. And then a year later, I'm like, wait a minute.
Well, I was just saying allegedly because I haven't read the full official police investigation, but the part of it that I did read.
Oh, okay. So you did have a clue.
Yeah. Okay. I was just saying allegedly.
Right. You don't need to be taking the court. Because
we're being recorded.
Right.
I don't know if you know that.
Right.
But
you may have said it's okay to sleep at night with a cigarette and you don't need to be blamed.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. I mean,
I don't know the law.
Keith.
I got porn stars on trial. I don't know what's happening.
Keith, you never know. Like, that's the thing.
Right.
You can't be too careful.
I'm acting like all of a sudden the world makes sense.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you go to your internship at Keith and the Girl. Right. You come home, you toss on a couple eps of Grey's Anatomy, and then boom, look at that. Yeah. You're homeless for a month.
Hello.
Okay? You never know.
You never really know.
You got to cover your butt.
Good thing you were up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lesson, everybody. Be up. You up?
I bet that smoke on that you're just more comfortable when you're sleeping. Something's weird, but it's a nice heavy blanket.
Yeah, it gets in my lungs. Oh, the blanket's just kicked in.
Oh, I'm getting one of those weed relapses.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how you do.
Well, I'm glad you're alive.
Thank you.
Did you notice that I offered my place for you to stay? How nice is that, right? And then I knew. Huh.
I didn't notice, Hemda.
Oh, you noticed.
Such a creep. Such a weirdo.
Was that a crib? It's nice.
I didn't notice, but I believe you.
Well, check your phone again.
No, you did. And you both did. And it was really nice.
I knew you wouldn't take me up on it. But it was nice nonetheless.
Well, that's actually where you're wrong because I have all my stuff here.
Oh, no.
I'm moving in today.
Oh, boy, this is horrible.
You can sleep on the couch, right? Thanks.
Oh, boy.
I've been through a lot. Thank you so much.
I know. I'm just buying fresh ketchup and mustard. I know that.
Yeah, he has a backyard. He can pitch a tent there.
I heard through the grapevine that you have mice, so I actually...
It's not your thing, yeah. I'd rather have a fire.
Good segue to last week on KTG.
Yes, let's keep things moving. Gosh, enough about me. Right. This isn't a show about me. Nobody wants to hear about my troubles. Let's hear about Ashley Gavin's troubles, you know, wanting to see a penis.
Oh, that's right.
Maybe, but not really.
That is funny
to me. Going to like great lengths to maybe see a penis and never pulling the trigger. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I understand she's a A+ 5-star lesbian, but still, how wouldn't you see a penis? I'm into women. I've seen too many penises.
Well, where have you seen your penises?
Honest to God, I can't get away from them. Well, I don't know if I'm on the subway or if I'm at, I'm going to check the mail, but it seems like, no, this penis is for the second floor. It's not for me. I don't know, but I've seen penises of all kinds somehow.
That's, and we also have the internet. If she can post on Craigslist, right. She wanted to see it like up close. Live. And just, yeah. And I think she wanted to see it get hard.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
She didn't want it to be sexual, but make it hard.
Right.
The thing that was
okay, making hard.
The thing about it that was most impressive to me is that she managed to never see a penis IRL, but she had enough spare time to like do the Craigslist thing and then
that report, you know,
doing the numbers on it.
Did you see the numbers?
I didn't see her crunch the numbers.
You don't. But. Oh man, it. I mean, it's a beautiful. It's not just like a spreadsheet of numbers. It's got pie graphs. It's got illustration.
I couldn't post it because it's one of these infographics that are very long and narrow, so you can't make out what it is. But
it used to be trendy,
right? But it is. There's numbers and facts, and it's very funny. It's, for example, this is what most men compare their dick to. And there's like a rooster, a cow. they're not very creative.
There's one where all the words were put in, but the numbers that were used, the names that were used the most, the words that were used the most were bigger. Mm-hmm. So you just, I think you saw
cock. You see dick, girlfriend, three-way.
It's all different. She took all the numbers and plugged them into different types of analysis.
So what was her final, you know, sort of hypothesis about it?
Guys are creeps.
Basically, yeah.
She didn't have to go to all that trouble.
Now scientists, they go the extra mile.
That's her privilege.
Scientists go the extra 6 inches, you know.
No, I thought it was fascinating. But like,
she was, I mean, as a guest,
she was great. I loved that episode.
From booking to arriving. Even the booking process with her was so fun. You know, when we ask people to be on, I try to be like enthusiastic and just like, we'd love to have you, you know, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, dream come true. I'd love to be on. Already we're in love with each other. This is good. This is what we do here. Then she's in here and like, there's some people who are like, oh, photo. Oh, we're live on this. Oh, she did her homework. She read all the emails. Look at the bar. It's so fucking low.
All the emails is one, by the way.
Right. I think it's because she had a real job before, you know. Not that this isn't a real job or her job now isn't a real job, but she worked in like a corporate environment before.
She figured it all out. All our rules and ins and outs.
Well, just emails, right. You know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I see what you mean. There's very specific rules in place in an office environment, in certain other environments.
When you get an office job, you learn when you get an email, read it all.
Yeah.
And she knew to read it all and not just stop when you get the gist.
Yeah.
And that taught her what time to come in.
This is where we're at as a society.
Here's what she learned. What time to come in.
That we're live.
That we're live. That's a list.
That I mean, she would be meeting Keith and Hemda.
There are some people that the day of, an hour before, what's your address?
With no shame. Not even embarrassed. What's your address?
Yeah, and I've done that, but I'm like, oh, I thought I had it or something. It's just funny.
You should make a like an FAQ.
I did.
Right, she did.
I really did.
At the end of the email, it says, remember, the secret phrase when we see you is, I respect you.
Oh.
And then we could tell who says it and doesn't.
I should put a thing in there, like a blue M&M thing, when people used to put it in their rider.
Mm-hmm.
If you see the blue M&Ms, you know. Ooh.
All right.
I'll figure it out.
Let's get on it. The other half of the Neurotica podcast, mm-hmm. Justin Silver.
By the way, your phone password, that's a good password you have.
Thank you.
All ones.
You might want to change it now that you were on camera with it.
Yeah.
And that Keith said it.
Listen, I've got a real catch-as-catch-can life here. You know, fast and loose. I don't have a place to live, really. It's fine. Everything's fine.
Speaking of Neurotica,
there's bigger things to worry about. Sure. You know? You can't be paranoid about every little thing. Right. You got to just move along, you know, Rolling Stone, no moss. I'm totally moss free.
All right. All right.
Okay.
You're making the best of it.
And I don't need to be criticized by you two, okay, for my passwords.
I have bigger problems.
Yeah, I do.
We'll do the ketchup and mustard.
Yeah, you guys do the ketchup and mustard.
We got it.
Okay?
We got it. Justin.
Justin, yeah.
Justin's, people's response to Justin was such a surprise to me.
Justin the dog trainer?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was like, oh, people are going to eat him alive. This is, I mean, some of the stuff that he said on the show doesn't usually vibe with our audience. And I'm like, this is going to be a thing. You people, I'm talking to very specific group. This one, how come she interrupt? How come Chaim interrupted him when he was talking about the dogs, about that? He's so cute. You shouldn't interrupt it. His looks got in the way so much. It threw the normal response. It was so fucking interesting. There was a time where I was doing an Israeli accent and he goes, I'm turned on by you. And like, you know, something about like how you would be turned on by a black sassy woman. And I was like, I'm not even, there's no response to that, but I know it's going to happen on the forums. No. Oh my God. He was so cute. I wish I was a puppy. What the fuck is wrong with you?
It's that good looking privilege.
Was that Keith? Am I wrong?
You're not
Where
wrong.
Where am I?
You're
Where am wrong. I? Were you expecting? And I didn't want a backlash for him, but that's usually the response.
Right.
It's not, he's so cute. I wish he fucking whatever. It hit me. I don't know. It was so odd.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Well, I think like
you're good looking and you like dogs. You're, mm-hmm. you're set.
He's one of those guests where you like for whatever reason, you kind of like didn't connect or you were like stepping on each other maybe a little bit. And it was mutual, Hemda in particular with you and you just couldn't like find it.
Yes. I thought about it afterwards. And here's what I thought. He said, I'm an open book. I cracked up very, very, very loud because it just came from the belly, right? And then I thought about it later, like, what is it with people who keep telling me they're open books? And then they bring up a topic that's a little deeper and I ask a follow-up question and they act very defensive. I have to remember that open book is not my open book. I'm an open book in this way. I don't say I'm not an open book. but to him,
he's open.
He's very, very open. And to him that he even said that his father was one way or another, that his father affected him one way or another, was giant for him. And for me to pry and then go, well, if you're such an open book, why not go even deeper? I'll just read your book. I'll turn the pages at your speed and then I'll have an easier time. So that was my bad. But I was just, yeah. Yeah.
Well, his buddies are these, your alpha tough comedians. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they would say they're open books too, but they're not. And I guess when they're willing to share anything and be vulnerable in any way, to them they think
it's
they
true.
Are. But
yeah.
you don't see these people ever tearing up or having real emotion.
It reminds me of my father. I mean, when my father describes his father, I believe he said that one time just the sound of his father's voice made him pee his pants. So I believe that he said it's very hard to, because they stop there. So I'm like, did I really hear what I just said? You know, what he just said? I think he said you didn't want to sit within arm's reach of my father because you'd be hit during dinner, you know? So things like that, like he only would drop that. And so my father, who I saw as stoic and very, you know, he joked, he was very, very funny and boisterous, but when he was one-on-one with me, it was very, you know, you're delicate and I don't want to touch you and why are you acting barbaric and like very, very strange. But I forget, to him, he's a mushball. To him, he'd never hit us. he never made us pee our pants. Like, he never did this stuff that he lived with. So he's a teddy bear. And so it's just a perspective.
Yeah. I mean, I think even saying at all, like, oh, I had a hard time in my childhood is probably big for some people. But I don't know. I mean, I was entertained. I liked the episode. So, and it was fun to hear because I haven't heard Tracy in his podcast. So right. It was fun to hear the other side because, you know, we've gotten to know Tracy so well over the past few months. So,
and they're going to be on You Can't Say That during KTG Weekend.
Amazing.
On Pod Wars. They're going against the Hot Mess Comedy Hour and the unofficial experts.
Oh, they're
going
to be yelling.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Right? There's going to be fights.
Yeah. It's going to be fun.
Did Martin also say he was an open book towards the end?
Martin Urbano. He was the one that...
Sweetheart.
The show started. I played his joke from Kimmel where he would do Mad Libs with the audience. The point being he's telling you that he's a pedophile. And somebody pointed out on the forums, I thought this was very funny, that they saw him perform live. And he would say, you know what? I heard my stand-up is very good, but because I'm performing it, I can't see it. So I'm going to watch it this time, and somebody else is going to perform my stand-up. So he hands his notes to a woman in the audience. The woman gets up, starts reading the notes. The jokes are very offensive. In the audience, he acts offended, heckles, and walks out. So he's very, very clever.
And he's also risk-taker, right. A huge risk-taker. And after the show, you know, because I noticed he wasn't going to places that we were going to. Mm-hmm. So we did let it go, I thought. But yeah. You tell us. And after the show, we, I think, followed up on one of the topics that we were talking about towards the end, which was somewhat controversial. And he goes, I didn't know. Like, he basically said, I didn't know how to participate. And he said, you never know who you're going to offend.
And I think it was generic. It was about God. Yeah, is there one?
Yes, like his belief. That's right, his belief in God. And so he didn't want to go one way or another. And I thought, wow, it's one of the people that they need to write down their controversial stuff because then it's thought out and then they know what angles they're coming from, but they can't off the cuff. And so unfortunately, if you're in this room and you can't off the cuff, then you're going to be very, very silent.
Yeah, I thought that the most interesting discovery that we made about him, or you guys made about him within the course of the episode, was when he said something and he was like, yeah, I didn't realize until today that I'm not comfortable talking about this stuff in public. Right. And I thought I was until this podcast started. And
it's so like, interesting.
Well, it's interesting that he had like the self-awareness to like over the course of 40 minutes realize like, I'm learning something about myself.
Yeah.
And I felt like I learned something about him by him learning about him through the episode. And it was cool.
It's one of those Russian dolls.
Yeah, it was deep, dude.
Yeah, it's what we do. It's like therapy.
Yeah. That one was unfortunate only because he is so funny and we got along. Everyone got along and everyone likes him. And I'm just glad we got the little that we got. You know?
Maybe. I mean, I hope he comes back. I hope we get more with him.
Yeah, maybe we book him with another guest so he can just drop whatever he's comfortable in throughout the show.
But then, like night and day with Mike Cannon, who just...
Yes. Mm-hmm.
My mom listened to that one.
How come?
Because she
has anger issues.
Yeah, she just knows that I am here and she has been wanting to check it out. And she's like, I like that one. He seems very nice.
Oh, wow.
So
shout out to mom.
Mike, if you're listening, you got a new fan in my mom. She's very cool.
Is your mom seeing anybody?
Yes. She's married. No, to my stepdad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mike was another dream guest, very chatty beforehand. He was one of the ones where I'm like, oh, I should stop talking because it was before the show and we were bing, bang, bing, bang, bing. And everything was, and I was like, all this stuff can be on air. Everybody shut the fuck up. But he was, and then you bring up his name in the comedy community and everyone's like, oh my God, I love him. In fact, we're recording on his birthday. So even though you might be hearing this today or another day, shout out to him on Twitter. It's so good. You guys have been doing this. It's so good to see you guys responding and like at us and at the guests saying like, this is why this show was my favorite. This is why I liked your story because, I don't know, it's warm and fuzzy, obviously. And you know, that's how it makes the comedians jizz. in a non-sexual way, like the way that Ashley wanted to see an erect penis.
Yeah.
IRL.
Non-sexually.
Yes. Was that all the guests for that week?
Dan Soder. It was a friggin' action-packed week.
It was.
And Dan's episode was great. I love him. He's so funny. Also very handsome. Lots of funny, handsome guests.
That's what it was about. Not an accident.
We're only reflecting off Keith from now on.
Very cool.
A friend of mine texted, I don't know if he wants to be outed. I'm sure he does, but it doesn't matter. He was like, I'm about to listen to Dan Soder's episode. And I know he's already like cuckoo about him. And so I go, all right, but prepare to be more in love with him after this episode. And then like halfway through the episode, he goes, you were right. He's so amazing. I'm in love with him even more now.
Right. He's sober now. He can keep a hard on.
He wants to have sex like in a nice way.
Right.
There's nothing more attractive than a guy who like admits that he has intimacy issues.
You like that? That's funny.
For some reason, you're like, oh gosh, you're withholding, but you know it and you know about why. So that's nice. It's just the awareness that's...
I should pretend I have that, right? And then when I don't want to be with somebody anymore, it's like, you knew about me. And
yeah, you I knew about my issues.
Right.
It's not you. It's just I have issues.
Right. I like it.
It really, yeah, gets you out of a lot of things. It's just that I have my intimacy issues, but I wish I could love you.
It's so funny, right?
As you're pushing her out the door, I gotta work on me.
Exactly. I think it works.
You know what I like about Keith dating and having all these guests coming in and out is that he is learning how easy it is for him. He's just like, I do the slightest thing and women are like, oh, that's so nice. I'm just like, just put that in your back pocket. It's just good to know, you know? Right.
Yeah, truly any effort at all is really above and beyond.
I know a woman that's into, not as far as crystals, but into some spirituality stuff. And I was scrolling through Groupon and I saw some bracelet, you know, one beaded bracelet, and maybe it's for health or energy or whatever. And so, and it was, you know, normally $70, now $10. And I'm like, well, I don't know if this is necessarily her style or what color. And I'm like, I saw this just showing you in case you're interested. And she's like, no.
You didn't even buy it. You just said, hey, it's on sale. Wow.
Because okay. I don't know what color. What am I going to do? Buy all of them?
No, I'm not. I'm totally not faulting you. It's just interesting.
So I send this over, you know, hey, if you wanted to see it. And she said, well, these things I have to physically touch. Mm. Okay, to see if
they work.
We match. Right. Whoa, energy. This is like coffee on the wrist. But she was like, but thanks, and you know, even it's a thought that counts, and even the thought is better. And I'm like, that's it. That's all I did.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, it's easy, isn't it? Because guys are jerks, I guess. I don't know. But I'm like, well, I didn't even do anything.
It's not necessarily jerks, I don't think. It's just thinking about somebody besides yourself for even a couple minutes.
Yeah, that sounds like a nice thing, not a jerk at all.
Yeah, it's like it's rare.
Yeah, what are you describing right now? You're describing a jerk. If I acted like that towards you.
She's doing positive reinforcement.
Oh, no, she's right. What we're saying is the neutral is just, I don't have to think about you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean,
so you're saying those people aren't bad people.
Right.
I'm just a good person.
Yes, I am saying that.
Again, yes.
You're such a good person.
You're not saying it.
Hey, did you guys know that Keith offered for me to stay with him, even though he knew I wouldn't take him up on it?
Still nice.
Very nice.
It's not a message you get and go, not nice.
I got it and I went, ooh, and pushed my phone away. I was like, I'm going to put that on ice. I'll respond later. Meanwhile, I'm staying in the mansion of my much cooler, richer friend, Keith. Just kidding. And it's an air mattress. My back is really hurting.
Well, I don't know if he told you, but his futon sofa goes down.
Mm.
So
it's getting not more like and more tempting.
You're not sleeping on a couch like you would at my place, like a crumb bum. Do you know that I actually use the word crumb bum? I try not to.
There's people like that and you need a word for it. Do you like games? Connect Four. My place looks like, let me tell you why.
I know that you have a cutting board in the shape of a guitar. I'm really anxious to see that.
It's a fun apartment. Toys R Us closed because I had everything cool. People just come to my house to play. They bring their kids. They're like, my kid got an A. Can they run around your house? I have fun.
Look behind you. We got a cornhole.
I saw that
situation.
A branded Keith and the Girl cornhole.
This board is our favorite thing all year.
I know. God, I can't wait for the weather to be nice.
Yeah.
It's been a little bit difficult to be homeless with all these snowstorms because I feel guilty like hanging around in somebody else's house and getting in their way. So I went to the movies, The Last Storm.
Oh, God.
I went
don't
to
you
the,
have your own room even?
Yeah, but I just don't want to be like in their space too much, you know? So I went to the movies. I saw Black Panther, which I did like. And then I went, it's in like this in Brooklyn, the Alamo Draft House. And there's like a department store in there too. And like a food hall in the basement.
Very
and
noisy in the movie theater.
I felt like I was
cash registers going.
I felt like I was like a mall walker, like one of those old people who goes to the mall all day, because I went to every floor of this store and just poked around and then went down to the food court and just had a borscht by myself and then like went back up. Checked out the housewares.
I know.
Spent like 5 hours in there. It was awesome.
The beauty of the draft house is that you can have beer in the theater, right? Can you also order food?
Yeah, there's food. There's a full menu.
And that's not annoying as watching a movie that people are ordering food?
I mean, it might be annoying to you. I could imagine you not liking it.
To people, I meant. Is it annoying to people? Or everybody loves it because it's a party?
It's just that everybody's different.
Everybody is different.
And to me, it's not annoying, but I could see that. I could empathize with somebody being annoyed by it.
Just curious. Okay.
I don't think I would be annoyed, but I don't notice when, you know, a microphone was in one hand and it's the other. So you're very, very focused.
I picture people not being smart enough to know when to order.
I was in the theater one time where they were giving food. It's not like clanking shit all the time. I don't know. It's also a very small theater, so not a lot is going on.
It's normal size. I mean, what I do is I get there early and I order before the movie starts so it can be finished by the time it starts while I'm watching.
So you know better with that said. Yeah.
But that's just because I don't like to eat in the dark.
Because who knows where it's going to go.
One time I ordered a salad there, and there's nothing weirder than eating a salad in the dark. It's very dumb. So I didn't make that mistake again.
Was it all over you?
It was just like I couldn't enjoy the movie and I couldn't enjoy the salad.
Because you don't know what bite is what.
Yeah.
You never know what kind of tips you're going to get from this show.
Yeah, exactly. Listener, beware. Fire safety. Don't order a salad in the movie theater. These are my lessons of a life well lived. Well, I think that about covers it. Anything else, guys?
I don't know. That was a good week.
been a real doozy.
Yeah. Well, for us, a good week. For you, you're still homeless.
Yeah. For you, a good week. It's been a good week for you, and I'm really happy for you.
Have you been crying often?
No, just that ketchup and mustard one was really, that was tough. But then I started crying. This is going to sound fake, but this is real. I was very overwhelmed by how many people in my life reached out and offered to help and offered to put me up. And it made me cry several times.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
It Good. Makes me cry when I think about it because like truly out of the woodwork. And, you know, I think when you live in New York, you maybe tend to feel a little isolated and it's like a rat race, everything happening around you. And like for so many people I know to offer, and I never felt worried that I wouldn't have a place to go.
And those that offered so quickly, me.
And those that offered relentlessly.
Yeah. I mean, when you think like, oh, I live here and like, I don't know, but it showed me that I've actually put down roots here and I have a family here and it's been kind of amazing.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. It's been a real whirlwind. I'm glad to be back here, though.
Welcome back.
Now and I gotta polish my own silverware. You didn't take me up on the offer.
I would like to see that cutting board at some point, though.
Sweet.
I'm really interested in that.
I rock my salads.
Yeah. All right. Well,
not in the dark.
I heard that Andrea sang a song, but I didn't hear the song.
She was trying to do it like you, and it wasn't really.
I'm going to try and do it like her.
Okay.
Last week on Kate and the Girl. Andrea. Drunk. Very cool coat. Boots. Black hair. Comedy.
She has these.
Guitar sound.
Was that a cutting board or a guitar?
Keith and the Girl.